Matthew chapter 26. I've been asked to announce that Sarah Briggs is going to be going on the Deaf Olympics here in 2013. Same trip that the Galleons are going on. I believe I'm right by saying that. Is that correct? And she's needing some help to get there. So I'm just throwing this out. We're fishing a little bit. If somebody gets under the burden, feels the Lord's in that to help her make that trip, that would be good. You can see them. And these are available out on the Welcome Center. Am I right by saying that? So you can pick one of those up. That would be good. Matthew chapter 26. And we'll begin our reading in verse number 14. Matthew 26, 14. The Bible says, "Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priest and said unto them, What will you give me, and I will deliver him unto you? And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. From that time he sought opportunity to betray him." We're preaching through the New Testament book of Matthew, and we have come to this passage of Scripture. We've preached on the opening 13 verses of this chapter, and we pick up in verse number 14. If you're in the habit of marking your Bible, I want you to mark the name mentioned in verse number 14. It's the title of my message this morning. It's the name Judas Iscariot. If you're keeping notes through this series, let me give you all the text here just for those who keep notes. Matthew 26, 14 through 16, and also verses 21 through 25. Matthew 27, verses 3 through 10. The parallel passages are Mark chapter 14, verses 10 and 11, and verses 17 through 21. Luke chapter 22, verses 3 through 6, verses 21 through 23. And then John chapter 13, verses 21 through 30. Let's pray together and we preach on this man named Judas Iscariot. Father, we love you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the sweet sense of your presence. And I pray that you'll help us today. Help us to be more like you for being in this service. Speak to our hearts. May the will of God be done in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to these passages in the Word of God, we're reminded that at this time, the Lord Jesus is getting very close to the cross where he will bleed and die for the sin of the world. As a matter of fact, the first part of chapter 26, we brought out a lady by the name of Mary who truly loved her Lord and adored the Lord Jesus and proved it by her actions on that particular day. Today in this service, we see another human being in contrast to Mary and her devotion to the Lord. It's a man by the name of Judas Iscariot. Now, when you hear this man's name, if you know anything about him, you're probably not thinking good thoughts right now about him. And there's a reason for that, because there's power in a name. And may I say to you that hearing this name, Judas Iscariot, reminds us of these thoughts about how powerful a name truly is. I'll be honest with you, I was studying all day on this. I think it was Thursday. It might have been Friday. I think it was Thursday. And it wore me out. I mean, studying the story of Judas Iscariot, no question in my mind, is one of the saddest stories in the entire Word of God. Studying this story will help us see why this is true. Today I want to give you several things all centering around Judas Iscariot. Number one, let's notice his special opportunity. His special opportunity. We see this in verse number 14 of our text. Look at it, Matthew 26, 14. Notice this. Then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot. See, the first thing we see about this man that is so sobering is the special opportunity that he had in his life. See, the Word of God tells us here that he was one of the 12. You know what this means? This means that he had a golden opportunity. And this means he had the privilege to be among those who were closest to the Son of God. See, he was among those who spent 3 years in close proximity with the Lord. Judas was among those who saw his mighty miracles. He was among those who heard him teach his own language. I'm talking about literally hearing the voice of the Son of God. Get this, Judas was privileged to see what Abraham never saw. Judas was privileged to see what Moses never saw. Judas was privileged to hear what David and Isaiah never heard. He saw the Son of God in flesh, and he heard the very words from his own mouth. Friends, I'm going to tell you something. That's a special opportunity. Secondly today, let's notice not only his special opportunity, but number two, his sinful response. How did he respond to the opportunity of being one of the 12, one of the 12 that Jesus allowed to get close to him and watch his miracles and see him raise dead people and cure blinded eyes and cure lepers? How did he respond to this? We see this in verses 14 through 16. It says, Judas Iscariot went unto the chief priest and said unto them, "What will ye give me, and I will deliver him unto you?" And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. See, even though Judas had a special opportunity to be with the Lord and receive him as his Savior, we see he took this opportunity and responded sinfully to it. He went to the chief priest and offered to betray the Lord to them for some money, 30 pieces of silver to be exact. And according to my study, that was the common price for a slave in that day. Mark tells us that Judas wanted to conveniently betray the Lord, while Luke tells us in his account that he sought to betray the Lord in the absence of the multitude. In other words, he didn't want other people to be around when he did it. The point here is this. Judas had much light given to him, but he rejected it. Get this, he would rather have money in his pocket than forgiveness in his soul. The Bible tells us how Judas did not believe Christ and how he was a devil. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verses 64, 70, and 71, here's what Jesus said, "But there are some of you that believe not." For Jesus from the beginning knew. He knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. It doesn't say he ordained who would believe, but he knew who would believe and who should betray him. Jesus answered them and said, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Get this. Judas had the opportunity to become a child of God, but he proved he loved money more than his Savior. Get this, his greed for money helped keep him away from the Lord's salvation. One man put it this way, "One leak may sink a ship." One leak may sink an entire ship. This man had his mind more on the things of this world than the things of eternity. And one person put it this way, "For money, Samson was betrayed to the Philistines. For money, Gehazi deceived Naaman and lied to Elisha. For money, Ananias and Sapphira tried to deceive Peter. And for money, the Son of God was delivered into the hands of wicked men." Luke 2, verse 15, "And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." See, in Judas' life, his one leak, if you will, I'm talking about the leak that would sink his ship, was the leak of greed. It may not be greed in your life. It may be pride. It may be something else. But everybody has something trying to keep them from coming to Jesus Christ in faith. It's interesting that over in Africa, they have an ingenious way of catching monkeys. You know how they catch them? They'll take a coconut and cut a small hole in the shell, just large enough for the monkey to get his paw in it. And what they do is they'll put some inviting meat to this monkey inside the coconut and hang it in a tree. The monkey will first put his paw in and get just a little bit of the meat inside just so he can bring it out and taste it. But when he tastes it, it's very good to him. It's delicious to him. And then he puts his paw in again and is so greedy that he gets a big handful of it and he grasps it in his hand, but the hole is so small in the coconut that he can't get his hand out with that much in it. But he wants it so bad that he refuses to let go of it and just get a little bit. He wants all of it at one time, and he tries to get it out, but he's trapped as long as he's holding on to it, you see. And these dear people who are catching these monkeys watch them catch themselves by their greediness with what they want to eat with one handful. And because of their greed, they become ensnared. And I'm telling you, friends, this is what happened to Judas. He had something in his life that was more important than knowing Jesus as his Savior. And he allowed that one thing to send him to hell. Now this morning, I don't know what it is in your life. A majority of people here, I hope everybody here, but as I'm preaching through books, I'm just hitting things as I get to them. And I've learned a great thought about preaching through books, that God will have me right where He wants me to be. There's a reason I'm preaching on Judas this morning, is what I'm trying to say. And that reason could be you. I'm telling you, I don't know what the 30 pieces of silver is in your life that looks good. But I know there's something in this life that when God speaks to your heart and says, you need to be saved, you need to accept me as your Savior, there's always something the devil tries to throw in front of you, friends. And for Judas, it was 30 pieces of silver. By the way, one man put it this way, let us never forget, now get this, that no sinners are so sinful as sinners against light and knowledge. In other words, Judas knew the power of the Son of God. He saw the power of the Son of God. He had great light given to him. He was among the 12 who spent day and night with the Son of God. He watched him day in, day night. And folks, God gave him great light, but he sinned against that light and he rejected it. And I'm going to tell you something. God help every person who comes to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. God help us to shine the light as bright as we possibly can from the pulpit of this local church. And I'm telling you that we shine it brightly and tell you, you need Jesus Christ. He's the only way to heaven. And somebody who denies that and rejects that, they are sinning against the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is so dangerous, my friends. I'm telling you, number one, we see his special opportunity. God gave him light, allowed him to get around the Son of God and his influence, but he sinned against it, his sinful response. Number three, notice I said his special opportunity, his sinful response, but number three, we don't see his Savior's words, we see the Savior's words. And what I'm saying to you in verses 21 and 25, let's notice what Jesus said. And as they did eat, he said, Jesus, verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. Notice verse 24. Boy, this is awful. It's almost sickening to even read this verse. Jesus said, the Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. That about makes me sick. Judas Iscariot was a man who had a golden opportunity. He had the privilege to be among the closest to Christ. Yet he never accepted him as his Savior. But he rather sold him for 30 pieces of silver. Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, never became Judas' personal Savior. What a sad story. John, in his account, tells us that the Lord was troubled in his spirit when he was saying these words. He was troubled. He was burdened. And when you listen to his words, he's saying it, if you will, with a broken heart. And as we listen to the Savior's words, there's two things I hear. I want to give them to you here. First of all, we hear how the Lord knew all about Judas and his heart's condition. He knew exactly what Judas would do. This betrayal was even prophesied in the Old Testament. Now some people say this, because it was prophesied, he was nothing but a robot. Hogwash, friends. That's garbage. That's trash. It just shows you that God knows what's going to happen. And he knew that this man, even though he was so close to him, would turn his back on him. And I'm telling you that it's interesting here. This did not take Jesus by surprise. It didn't. He knew what was in Judas' heart. And he even spoke about it before the fact. You know, when the Lord told the disciples that one of them would betray him, you know, Judas must have looked the part. Because not one of the other disciples says, "Is it him?" Not one of them. Read it. Not one of them said, "Is it Judas?" No, they said, "Is it me?" That's what they said. Now, what I'm saying to you here is that the disciples asked if they were the one. Judas, in his hypocrisy, he had already received the 30 pieces of silver. He had already done it. And he, in my opinion, just so he would keep the light from off of him, he said, "Lord, is it me?" He asked it himself. What a hypocrite. John tells us that during this time when the Lord was telling him that one of you is going to betray me, it says the apostle that Jesus loved, that's John, he's writing the book of John, so he refers to himself as the apostle that Jesus loved. Peter saw him leaning on the bosom of Jesus. I mean, Jesus is there, he's partaking, he's talking, he's reclining, John tenderly just laying upon the Lord. Glory. Peter looks at him and the Bible says he beckoned to him, asked him, "Who is it? Who is it?" And the Lord said, "It's the one." He said here, "It's the one that dippeth his hand in the dish with me." In other words, he's in this room. He's in this room. He's partaking of even what I'm partaking of. He's dipping his hand in the same dish that I'm dipping mine in. He's in this room. John sheds more light on it and says this. He says the Savior said this, "He's the one that when I dip this bread in, this sop, I'll hand it to him." It's interesting. Boy, this just shows you about our Savior right here. This was a custom in that day. Now get this. I honestly didn't know this. This was a custom of the host when he took a piece of bread and dipped it in the sauce and gave it to somebody. You know who he was giving it to? An honored guest. He was showing Judas in this, "I'm still your friend right now." And when he took that bread and he dipped it and he handed it to Judas, it was the lovely Son of God's way of saying, "The door's still open, young man. You still have time to repent." But when he took it, the Bible says, at that moment, the devil entered him. And he went out to betray the Lord for the common price of a slave. Sobering story, isn't it, friends? I know it's not a happy sermon. I know that. It wore me out studying it. First of all, we hear in the Savior's words, he knew about Judas' heart condition. Nobody else in that room did, but God did. And may I tell you this morning that nobody in this room may know about your heart condition, but God does. He knows. Secondly, we hear not only his knowledge, but we hear his judgment. Boy, it is awful when the Lord Jesus Christ pronounces judgment on somebody. And he says this, verse 24. He says, "The Son of Man is going as it's written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born." Now folks, that didn't come from my lips, that came from Jesus. What sobering words of judgment these were, coming from the mouth of the Son of God. One man put it this way, and I quote, "It is better never to live at all than to live without faith and die without grace." Mark 8, 36 and 37, the Lord said, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Number one, we notice his special opportunity. Number two, his sinful response. He had light. He could have done the right thing, but he rejected it because of the things of this world. We see the Savior's words. He knew what he was going to do, and he pronounced judgment. Number four, we see his sad ending. This is found in chapter 27, Same book of the Bible, chapter 27, verse 3. Look at it now. This is after the Garden of Gethsemane. We'll study that later as we get to it. We're going to see Judas there again when we get to it. I'll refer to him here in just a moment there as well. When you come to chapter 27, the next morning has arrived. See, that same night the Lord went to Gethsemane, and he was betrayed by Judas with a kiss. Somebody said Judas kissed the door of heaven and went straight to hell. He kissed Jesus Christ to give him a sign. They came and they took him, and all night long he has been interrogated, the Lord. And we come to chapter 27, verse 3, it is the next morning. And let's see the sad ending of Judas' life. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented. Now you look that word up in the original, that is not repented for salvation. It's a feeling of remorse. In other words, he's not turning to Jesus here, he just feels bad about what he's done, okay? And brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I've sinned in that I've betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to it. He cast down the piece of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. After Judas had betrayed the Lord with a kiss, the next morning we see him coming back to the chief priest to give the 30 pieces of silver back. It's interesting what he said. In verse number 4, notice what he said. He said, I have betrayed thee, what? Innocent blood. If anybody knew of a shortcoming or a sin or a fault in Jesus' life, it would have been one of the disciples who was with him for 3 years, day and night. And Judas was one of them. And Judas was a devil. And he still said, this man's innocent. Glory. It means he's sinless. I have betrayed the innocent blood. These wicked leaders showed no compassion for him. And even though the Word of God says he repented himself, I've already said this, this is not the same repenting that leads to salvation, but rather remorse and regret. One way we know this to be the case is because of the original word used there, but another reason is because of where he went. He didn't go to Jesus, he went to the chief priest. One person put it this way, and I quote, it's possible for a man to feel his sins and be sorry for them. It's possible to be under strong convictions of guilt and express deep remorse, to be pricked in conscience and exhibit much distress of mind, and yet for all this not repent with his heart. Present danger, the fear of death may account for all these feelings. Just scared to die, in other words. And the Holy Ghost may have done no work whatever in his soul. It takes the Holy Spirit of God to be saved, friends. If you had an experience without the new birth, you didn't get the real thing. 2 Corinthians 7:10, for godly sorrow worketh repentance of salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. By the way, it's interesting that right here in Matthew it says he just went out and hung himself, but other portions of Scripture shed more light on this. It's awful. It's terrible. It didn't finish when he hung himself. Listen to Acts chapter 1, verses 16 to 18. Listen to this. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity. Now get this. And falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and his bowels gushed out. You study that, and it's common consensus, and one that I agree with. Here's what it says. He probably hanged himself on a tree projecting over the precipices of the valley of Hinnom, and afterwards, on account of the rope or limb breaking, he probably fell headlong with such force that his body burst when it hit the rocks below. What else does the Word of God mean there? That his body fell headlong and his bowels gushed out. What a terrible ending to somebody's life. But the Word of God goes on some more. And it says this in Acts chapter 1, verse 25, Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. No doubt his place is right now in hell, where he awaits the final judgment to be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. The Bible says when the Lord dismissed him from supper. In other words, he came to the supper that night. The Lord handed him the sop, extending love to him again. The Bible says when he left that supper that night, that it was night. It was night. That's not in Matthew, that's in the parallel accounts. And may I say to you that it's been night ever since for Judas Iscariot. One person put it this way, turning their backs upon him. Talking about Christ, they go out into the night of sin, the night of death, the night of everlasting darkness and hell. Sin looks so attractive before you commit it, and often so ugly afterwards. Judas is one, now get this. The Bible goes on about him and says something else. Judas is the one, if you remember when we studied the opening 13 verses of Matthew chapter 26, who was it that came? Who was the lady who came to break the alabaster box and pour the precious ointment on the Lord? Her name was Mary. And remember the story, the Bible says the disciples thought it was a waste, but they had a spokesman. Who was the one that spoke? Judas. And what did Judas say? Why for this waste? She was just showing her love and devotion to Jesus Christ. Christ realized what she was doing. And Judas said, that's a waste. But the Word of God in John chapter 12, John chapter 17, verse 12, says that Judas is known as the son of perdition. You know what the word perdition means? It means waste. The one who claimed, the one showing love and devotion to Christ as waste, is really known as the son of waste because he rejected Christ as his Savior. I'm telling you, he was the one who kissed, as I've said before, the door of heaven and went straight to hell. He is identified in the Word of God as Judas, the one who betrayed the Lord. What a sad ending in life. What a sad ending in life. Now, I've said all that to give you point five. Point five is really a conclusion, but I'm just giving it to you with a word that begins with S to help you kind of remember this outline. His special opportunity, he was allowed to get close to Jesus for 3 years, day and night. God gave him great light. His sinful response is he rejected that light and chose something in this world above everlasting life. The Savior's words, he knew all about it. And he even said, because you have rejected me, it's better for you if you hadn't have been born at all. The sad ending. He realized that he had betrayed innocent blood. And even at that moment, if he had returned to Christ, if he had repented of his sin and received Christ, Jesus Christ would have saved him as much as he saved you or me, friends. But instead of going to Christ, he went to the chief priest. And he repented himself, not for salvation, but just because he was just so sad about what he did. He was regretful. He wished he could take that back, in other words. That's not salvation, friends. And because of that, and he never returned to Christ, never received Christ as his Savior, he threw the silver down. Maybe he thought that would ease his conscience, but he's soon to find out that's not salvation either. And he goes and he finds a tree and he hangs himself. He goes to his own place. His body somehow slips and hits below, and his bowels gush out of his body. And now he's known as the son of waste and the one who betrayed the Lord. Now I close with this thought. Watch the solemn warning. And it is a solemn warning, friends. By the way, I am not a preacher that tries to get you to doubt. Because I know the devil plays on doubt. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you meant business, I'm talking about, listen, you realize that you are a hell-deserving sinner, and there's no way that you could save yourself, and you don't want your sin, and you turn to Jesus Christ and realize He's the only way to heaven. If there's been a time where you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you're saved 100% all day long for all eternity. Don't doubt it. But at the same time, there is a solemn warning here. And that solemn warning, stay with me, is that Judas Iscariot was one who looked the part. He dressed the part, and he even hung around the Lord Jesus Christ. He even hung around the people of God for 3 years. Yet he was lost as a ball in high weeds. Warren Wiersbe put it this way: Judas' life is a warning to those who pretend to serve Christ but whose hearts are far from God. He's also a warning to those who waste their opportunities and their lives. Why this waste? Asked Judas when he saw that expensive ointment poured out upon Jesus. Yet Judas wasted his opportunities, his life, and his soul. Spurgeon put it this way, and I quote, "A man may get very near to Christ. Oh, he may dip his hand in the same dish with the Savior and yet betray Him. He may be in high office like Judas was. May even apparently be useful as Judas was. Yet they may betray Christ." Friends, the warning is this. Get this. The warning is one can come to church, one can associate with Christians, and one can even take part in trying to serve Christ and yet be lost on their way to hell. That's the warning. Jesus did not say, "You must serve me." He said, "You must be born again." And I'm pleading with you today, if there's only one here, I'm pleading with you, don't settle for anything less than the new birth. By the way, if you're doubting today, it could be you're already saved or it could be you're lost. If you are doubting, listen, I'd come forward every time the service gives an invitation, as long as I had a doubt in my heart, till I got it settled. I'm going to tell you something. I was talking to Preacher Lashley about this. I'm just about done. I'm doing fine. I looked at my watch. Don't look at yours, okay? I was talking to Preacher Lashley about this. By the way, he's preaching at David Fox's this morning. Tomorrow is he and Miss Lashley's 50th anniversary of moving to Gray, Tennessee. He doesn't know this. We're going to honor him in the service tonight if he's here. I don't think he's preaching out. Hope he'll be back for that. Keep that under too, friends. Don't tell him. You know what I'm saying? I'm in glory. But anyway, I was talking to him about this. Here's what I told him. We're sitting in the snack room. Boy, I love times like that with Preacher Lashley. He comes in, sits down. I sit down. We just, Moses, there he is. Let's talk to him. You know what I'm saying? And I said, "Preacher, I'm going to answer to God for the people of this church. I'm going to tell you something. I love you too much not to tell you that your service is not good enough for heaven. You trust Christ as your Savior, and you will never be a Judas Iscariot. But if you reject Him and live for the things of this world, what Jesus said in verse number 24 not only applies to Him, it applies to you too. It is better for somebody who dies without Christ if they had never been born. Don't let that be said about you." Amen, friends. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we love You. Thank You for this day. Thank You for the power of the Word of God. And I thank You that as we just preach through books, that we hit things as we get to them. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. I want to ask you some questions this morning. I know sometimes you come to church on a Sunday morning and it seems like every service on a Sunday morning is a salvation push. If you come here long, you know, number one, that's not true. But number two, you do know the gospel will be presented in the church services here. Sometimes when we're preaching through books, it's just that's the emphasis of the whole chapter, the whole passage. And we have one of those passages today. There are two types of people here today, those who are not like Judas and those who are. Those who are saved and those who are not. Those who are born again and those who are lost. Have you today say, Jody, I'm glad. I don't hope so. I don't think so. I know so. I have trusted Christ and Christ alone. I'm a born again child of God. I'm not trusting my good works. I'm not trusting my service. I'm not trusting church membership. I'm not trusting my baptism. I'm trusting Christ and Christ alone. There's been a time in my life where I realized I was a sinner. Jesus died for me. And I accepted Him and Him alone as my Lord and Savior. And I meant business. I wasn't playing games. I meant business. I didn't want my sin. I wanted Jesus. And if God meant what He meant, I meant what I did. And I got saved. Have you know that for sure? Would you raise your hand in the air with me? God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Isn't it good to be able to raise your hand to that, friends? Don't take that for granted. Some of you are here today and you couldn't raise your hand. Let me say thank you for being honest. It all starts with honesty. It really does. If you're here today and you say, Jody, I could not raise my hand to that question. But there's a desire in my heart to be able to. I couldn't do it. I had to be honest. But I can say I am honest in this. The next time somebody asks that question, I sure would love to be able to raise my hand to it. I can't say that today, but I would love to be able to. Would you be honest again? If you say, Jody, I'm doubting or I'm not sure, or maybe you know you're lost and you did not raise your hand a minute ago, would you be honest? Would you raise your hand now with me? Is there anybody like that? I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. I wouldn't do anything to embarrass you at all. Is there one today? Say, Jody, pray for me. I'm just not sure. I'm going to heaven, but I don't want to end up like Judas. I don't want to be a waste. I don't want to go to my place called hell. I'd like to go to a place called heaven. Is there anybody? Say, Jody, pray for me. I'm just not sure. Let me ask you this question. You say, Jody, I'm a Christian. But I know of a Judas. I'm not saying, do you think that you may know that person? I'm talking about you know them. It could be a family member. It could be a co-worker. It could be, you know, whatever. But you say, Jody, I know a Judas. You know somebody like this. Somebody who's lost is what I'm asking. Have you know somebody who's lost? Would you raise your hand in the air with me? Say, I know somebody like this. Yes. If you got your hand raised, I want you to lower it, but I want you to look at me just a moment. Would you do that? That's a majority of you probably. I'm going to tell you something. That person, if they die without Christ, is no different than Judas. Hell may not be as hot on them because there are degrees of punishment. But nonetheless, the punishment's the same. It's eternity without Christ. Did the Lord give it to Judas straight or not? Sure He did. Because He loved him. I'm going to tell you something. Some of the hardest people to witness to are the ones you love the most. The ones closest to you. Say it the way it is. Some of you are looking at me right now because there's a family member that you're really burdened for. God bless you for your burden. Can I say this to you? Your burden's not enough. Put action to it. Let me ask you a question. Do you really believe in your heart? And I'm asking myself the same question here, but do you really believe in your heart that somebody that's lost, it's better that they hadn't have been born at all if they die in that condition? Let me say something to you. It's true whether we believe it or not, because it's what the Lord said. There's lost people everywhere. Some of them, not all of them, but some of them, when they hear the gospel, will be receptive. Your burden will come in handy in your prayer life. Beg God to give you tears, a broken heart for them. And let them know when you talk to them, I love you. And I'm going to prove that to you now because I'm going to tell you the truth. Say, they'll never speak to me again. You may be surprised. But even if they don't, at least you go into eternity with your hands clean, your heart clear, knowing you've done everything you can. Amen, friends? You see this, don't you? You know it's the truth, don't you? I need to do a better job of it. God, help us with it. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take this thought and use it. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, in just a moment, the mic's going to sing. Let me say this. I would encourage some of you who raised your hand about somebody that you know that's like Judas. Won't you bring them to the altar today? You say, they're not here. I'm talking about their name. Come talk to God about them. Ask God to give you tears. Give you a burden. As Brother Mike begins to sing, would you come now? Please, would you do it? Come now. Would you do that?
Just as I
so I'm going to come. I'm going to pray for that person. Boy, I'm burdened for them. Boy, I'm burdened for them. They're a Judas, and I don't want them to die that way. God, help us.
To thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come.
Look this way, folks. Folks are praying. Folks are broken. Studying this passage of Scripture was one of the hardest passages I've ever studied in my life. Judas is burning in hell as I speak. I'll tell you something. If Judas could come and speak, what would that man say? We're all going to see people this week. May God break our hearts. We're all going to see people this week who are going to the same place that Judas is. This church exists not just so you come and get fed. And I sure hope you get fed when you come. This church exists to tell others that there's a living Savior who died for their sin. They can be saved. This is our burden, friends. This is my burden. And I praise God for it. Let's get with it. Stay with it. Go after it. Judas Iscariot. His life is speaking to us today. Not in a good way. A bad one. Father, help us, I pray. May the will of God be done. Bless us. Burden us. Challenge us. Help us. And help this church to be a mighty, mighty army that goes forward telling other people. Telling other people. Telling other people about the Lord. Let's just pray with her. May you bring us back safely tonight. Bless the visitors. Encourage them for being here in Jesus' name. Amen, folks. God bless you. Thank you for coming.